throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It is the busiest day on the high school basketball playoff calendar. We talked about it all week. This Thursday, everybody's playing 6A all the way down to Class B. And, of course, we'll tell you what the schedule is coming up on Paragon and Big Elk TV today. But joining us right here off the top of the show is the man that doesn't play tonight. He'll play tomorrow night, but it is Mr. Lance Carpenter, head coach of the Leedy Bison. Lance, you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic. Man, it's the small schools, it's interesting because you're a man that has to wear many hats. And so today, even though your team is off, you're driving a bus over to Enid. Now, the question I have is this. Will that bus be able to drive to Enid for an area tournament, or will it want to go up, keep on going up north to where it normally goes in Woodward?
Well, I think, you know, I just driving around the block just a while ago to try to get it situated and categorized in back toward Enid because it's used to going north out of this place. But you're exactly right. It's a little different route for us this year, but maybe I can handle it and get it that direction.
You know, last year it seemed like it was kind of a choppy season. Started out well, then some sickness, some injury. How much smoother has this year been health-wise and sickness-wise for the Bison?
You know, Aaron, it was, you know, like I said last year, boy, everything was rolling good till we got derailed for a little while and just never got back quite on track like we were early in the season with all the injuries. But this year's been really good. We had a spell about 2 or 3 weeks ago where we got really sick, which I'm glad we got through that. And at times I'd only have one or two kids at practice because we were so sick, but I'm just glad to get that out of the way before the playoffs. But we are healthy, and we've been rolling pretty good this year. Everything's been really smooth. The kids have played extremely well throughout the year and played a lot of tough ball games, and they've just played very well for me.
What's been the strength of this team?
You know, I think it's just spreading it out. I mean, all of them can score, you know, and just like here the other night in the area finals, they decided they was going to take the regional finals, they was going to take Luke Puffenberger out of the ball game. And so Aaron Hill and Alex Kadavy to step up just have monster games for me, you know. And that's just the thing that to me this year, there's a lot of people can get involved and a lot of people can do a lot of different things. And so if you're just going to just try to take one piece of the puzzle out, somebody else steps up and does a great job for us. My guards, Kale Clem and Tyler Price, they've shot the ball extremely well from the outside. I know one night I think they had 6 or 8 threes between them, you know, and that just makes us that much tougher when they can all do that. And, of course, Luke, you know, he just gets his. Whether he gets his points or just the assists that he gives people. I mean, here the other night, they just tried to take him out. I don't know how many assists he had. He was just feeding people right and left, you know, and he's such a big part of what we do.
Coach, you mentioned Luke. He was such a big part of your offense last year, or your entire game last year, offense, defense. And then the injury happened, and the rest is history. This year, he's staying healthy, and I was real worried about him going, okay, this is my senior year. I wasn't 100% last year, and I was afraid that he'd overdo it. How is he reacting now in these playoffs 100% healthy? How's he playing?
You know, I think he's such a great leader when it comes to not only scoring and taking over the game when he needs to, but keeping all the young kids involved and going what's on, you know, because – Alex Kadavy and Kale Clem got to play some last year. The other guys were all new, you know, and didn't get to see the floor much last year. And, you know, with the freshman Aaron Hill coming in and stuff, he just kind of taken this group kind of under his wing, and he's kind of been the leader for him. And he don't always do it vocally. He just does it by the examples and just calming people down. You know, if one of the two or three of them young kids miss a shot or something, I see him talking to them. And, you know, and I think that's been a big part of him maturing, growing up, and understanding all this. And, you know, it's just made the team that much better because he kind of keeps them under control. I mean, he's such a great passer that he just hits people when they need it and feeds people and gets those people involved in the ball game. And, you know, and I just see a lot of growth in him. this year, and a lot of maturity in him and stuff and everything, and just kind of guiding the young kids. Him and Kadavy kind of guide the young kids and help the young kids through some of those times when you wonder what they're going to do, that you can see them talking to them and helping them out.
You guys have been incredibly consistent in your time at Leedy. Sixth in playoff wins the last decade with 46, made 6 of 8 trips to the state tournament, 2 runners-up since 2016. Not that you want to, you know, give everybody else the secret sauce, but what has been the key to you guys sustaining that success year after year after year?
You know, and I don't mind sharing this with you, because I tell people this all the time. I feel like we build it from ground floor up. You know, I'm involved with the 3rd and 4th, 5th and 6th, the junior high and the high school. And it's a lot. As a coach, it's a lot. It's a lot to do that. But you set the basis and the standards all the way through, and it just makes your kids want to achieve that. They see what's happening above. I'll tell you a prime example. My junior high kids every day after school would come out and go with my high schoolers. And my junior high kids and my high school boys are all very much, they're very closely together all the time. You'll see them all together all the time. And the junior high are always already feeding off of that, thinking, hey, you know what? Look what the high school's doing. I want to do that when I get to high school. And that pushes them to be better every day. They understand there's a standard that we have. We expect to be in the state tournament every year, so they push themselves. I mean, I had a great junior high team this year. They played extremely well, and the future's very bright, you know, because those kids just push each other to get better and better every day. And I think that's a big part of it, is just the success of the older kids just trickles down to the success of the younger ones. My 5th and 6th grader's done really good, you know, and that's just one of those things that just the building the program all the way through, and they just understand that this is the standard we set, this is what we got to do to get there, and, you know, that makes it easier every year to just come up with a good ball club.
Hanging out with Leedy Bison head coach Lance Carpenter, you mentioned that not a lot of guys back from last year's team, so do you hear your guys talking about the end of the season last year, the disappointment up in Woodward in the area tournament with those back-to-back losses and not being able to reach the state tournament that is obviously almost like a birthright for your guys right now?
Yes, you know, it is. It is a focus. I've seen this team this year really focusing in. I mean, they're really focused in. Practice this week has been great. I can just tell they're watching a lot of film. You know, in today's world, man, you can watch film all over the place. You know, back in the old days when I coached, you know, you'd have to drive all over the state to get film. Now it's a click of the button and it's there, you know. And so these guys watch a lot of film. They understand what the other team are doing and stuff and everything. And they're just kind of being students of the game. You know, they're all watching film, so they want to be the most prepared they can be come tomorrow night. You know, and that's just a blessing to me. It makes my job much easier.
How do you handle Lake's constant criticism of your coaching on that film you mentioned on Paragon? I mean, he's relentless when I watch him.
Well, you know, you have to understand whenever it comes to him, that's the reason he's up there and not down here. Him understanding the game is not to the best. No, me and my sister Leah, we understood the game, and Lake, he was just a shooter. He didn't know anything about defense. When I don't know if you guys know this, but I actually coached him.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually coached him, you know, and, you know, I'd always have to match him up with the worst guy on the other team because he couldn't play defense, you know, but he would shoot it. Now, I mean, I'm telling you, he could shoot it, and there was never a shot he wasn't open. He's like, hey, coach, I was open on that play. I said, but you had 3 guys on you. He said, but I was still open, you know. So, you know, I understand that point of that deal, you know, but, hey, they do a great job. Him and Treasure do a great job up there, and I appreciate him dearly. I gave him a hard time, you know, and everything, and he tells some horror stories on me back when I was young, coach. But they're not altogether true, I don't think. He exaggerates a little bit, but they do a great job. And I know they have a big following. A lot of people from around this area watch our games because of that. Even when he gets on the canoe station when he's not supposed to, you know, stuff like that.
Boy, my phone is blowing up. My goodness. That's
when you could tell he was a chucker back in the day when he was taking over other people's stations on the air.
That's exactly right. You know, canoe people are texting, does get off our station. We're trying to watch our game. And here he's trying to butt in and put Bison TV on everything, you know. So.
What has it been like having Leah there?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, it is such a blessing to have my sister back up here with me. We work great together, and, you know, we help each other out all the time. My niece Tabor, she comes up and she helps out a lot too. And, you know, it's just a big family affair, and I just love being around them. You know, it's a very big blessing having her back up here with us. She's done a great job with her kids and stuff, and I feel like, hey, they're just – they're just going to keep it chugging away and be in the state tournament too. But they, you know, it's just such a blessing having her up here with me, and we bounce a lot of ideas off each other and stuff and everything, and just a blessing. That's all I can say. It's just a blessing to have her up here coaching with me again.
Yeah, I'd asked Tatum yesterday when we had her on if you guys had all three been in the state tournament the same year, and I went back. I think 2017 is when she got Sentinel there, and you and Leah were there both. That's incredible.
It's quite crazy because when we have get-togethers and we have a large family, you know, Leah has a dozen kids, and you know, and all the grandkids and stuff and everything. So when we all get together for Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff, there's a lot of coaches in the room, but you know, we really don't talk a lot of basketball. You know, we really don't. We joke around about other things, but we talk a little basketball. But that isn't our main subject. You think it was with all the coaches in the room, but you know, it's really not. We talk about other things and we laugh and have a good time about other things.
We're hanging out with Coach Carpenter of Leedy Bison.
I want to expand on that with your sister being there. Do you push each other? I mean, do you see like, okay, she won tonight, I got to win tonight? And
Oh yeah. I'm sure we feed off each other. You know, and I've probably not been a good example for her because when we coached together back then, she was kind of a lot nicer than she is now. And I don't know if it's age or just seeing me because I've always been in our family, I've always been kind of the black sheep of the family. And, you know, and I always kind of a little radical coaching, but I've seen her time to time, she'll flare up. And I thought, uh-oh, sis, here she goes. She's taking some of my bad characteristics, you know, because Leah's a super nice lady. But she will get after you now. Them girls, they understand, hey, you can push her button sometimes, and she will get after you. So it's kind of funny sometimes watching her go from being extremely nice to not so nice.
Do you put any pressure on yourself to be the first Leedy boys team to win a gold ball? You've been so close a couple of times. Obviously, that Duke game could have went either way in 2020. Yeah. Do you put any extra pressure on yourself for that?
I do. I want to be the first one. I'll be honest with you. I want to be the first one that does that. And I feel like we have that capability with this team, but the team's coming. I feel like it's there. All we just need is the right bounce of the ball is all we need. And, you know, that 2020 could have been it. The right bounce and missed seven free throws in a row at the end, you know, and they all, the players of mine that are still there out there, they still think about that. But, you know, it's one of those things that, just the right bounce the ball. But, yeah, I probably do because I want to be that person. You know, I want to be that first person to do that here at Leedy. You know, I was the first person at Hammond with the girls to do that. I want to be the first person at Leedy to do that with the boys, you know. And, you know, it probably adds a little pressure and it probably a little drive. Makes my drive, you know, people. I'm an old coach compared to a lot of young coaches out there now. You know, and they always say, what's your drive? And I said, well, you have to change your drive every year to go, okay, this is what I want to try to accomplish, you know. And I just feel like with this bunch, if we'll continue to play like we've been playing, we've got that ability to maybe have that chance to do that.
Frontier is one of those schools, man. You hear, oh, we're playing Frontier, and it's synonymous with high school basketball. Obviously, everybody that's played basketball almost in Oklahoma through the years has gone to the camp and all that. What challenges do they present to you tomorrow night?
You know, they are a very good team. Coach Wickenstein does a great job with them and stuff and everything. Like you said, they're always there. They shoot the ball extremely well. They're extremely fast. I mean, they do a lot of great things. They really do. And our hands are full tonight with them, tomorrow night with them. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They're a very, very, very good team and stuff. We just got to go out and what we try to do best and try to control the basketball and do our little things, and we're big, and use our size to our advantage, and not getting that foot race with them, because that's what they like to do. They like to run up and down the court and shoot the ball, and we need to keep the pace at our level and just keep attacking them and just see what happens, you know. They remind me a lot of some teams, like an Okarchi team that we played earlier in the season. They remind me of that kind of team. They're fast. They're quite not as big as Okarchi, but they shoot the ball extremely well, and, you know, it creates a lot of tough situations for us, and I just feel like that we just got to go out and we got to do what we do best. You know, you can't change everything in midstream here. You got to do what you do best and your strong points, and see what happens.
Is there one thing you feel like your team has to absolutely get accomplished tomorrow to win?
Yes, we've got to control the basketball and not turn the basketball over. They live and die on trying to steal the basketball. And if we can handle the basketball and they not get us to turn it over, which I feel very confident in us, by not turning it over, we've seen a lot of pressure with the Hoberts, with the Okarchis, with the Ceilings, with the people like that that we've played that's been high-ranked people. You know, I feel like that we can handle that pressure. Like I said, my guards, Kale and Tyler, have been doing a great job, and Luke just is unbelievable seeing the floor. You know, him being the size he is, he sees over a lot of those traps. Mm-hmm. You know, and he hits that person real well, and you know, and that causes other teams trouble as well. But I think the key to this tomorrow night is definitely controlling the basketball and not turning it over.
All right, fantastic, Lance. We thank you so much for your time. I know you got to get on the road to Enid, driving
the
bus, right?
Yep. Hey, I appreciate you guys and all you do for us and keeping us out there the way you do it. And all high school sports here in Western Oklahoma, you guys do a great job. And I know a lot of people comment and stuff and everything on you guys, but I just want to say from the coach's standpoint, I just thank you guys for all you do because it keeps us out there. A lot of people follow us because of you guys, and I just appreciate that.
Man, thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the kind words. Good luck to the Lady Bison today and the Bison tomorrow night as well.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's head coach of the Lady Bison, Lance Carpenter, joining us here. Yeah, I mean, you wear all the hats, right? You're going to coach tomorrow to go to the state tournament, but that doesn't take you away from teaching or even driving a bus today.
Yeah, that's the glorious thing of a small community and small town basketball. You know, I've seen the superintendents of schools drive the bus, even this one right here in Elk City.
That's true.
You know, and they know that sometimes you have to wear those mini hats and kind of keeps them humble, I think. but man, Lance has had so much success. Speaking of staying humble, that guy's the most humble coach you could ever meet. Because of all, you look at his records and his success that he's had, both at, of course, Hammond and now at Leedy, and the drive that he talks about, it's still there. You see it. As long as he's been in the game, he still has that drive. You see him the passion he has as a coach. He's a good one.
7:30 tomorrow night, Frontier in Enid, area finals. For Class B boys there. Leedy.
Bison TV.
On Bison
not
TV.
Not Trojan TV.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Depends on what Lake gets accomplished, right?
You see what Lake said. We'll blame all that on Lake.
But yeah, you're right. The success over the last decade has been is almost at the top of the game in boys basketball across the state of Oklahoma. Sixth in playoff wins with 46. Six of the last 8 years they've been in the state tournament. Two times played for the gold ball. And you know, it's wild to think about with the success that they've had just through the years at Leedy, have never won a boys basketball state championship. Hasn't happened. They played in the finals a handful of times, but it's never. They've had a couple of close ones back in the day, and then obviously in 2020 against Duke, I remember that just watching that agony of those missed free throws just pile up there in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and you think, man, what just happened? You know, that's why that – you shoot those at the end of, you know what I mean? If you ever wondered how important those were, it was proven that night, unfortunately, in the wrong side for the green and white. But once again, it's one of those, them and Hammond girls have become, you know, when we start talking about high school basketball at the end of October into November, you know, who can make the state tournament, it's those two come off
right.
your lips immediately.
And it's weird when they don't. You know, like last year was weird. Leedy boys were not there, and it's or any Leedy team. It's weird.
No, their girls made it.
You're right. I'm sorry. Their girls made that first mm-hmm. round, but when the boys aren't there, it's kind of odd. But they got a great shot this year. They got a really good shot. Tough test tomorrow. That'll be really interesting to see how they go up against Frontier. If they can come out, get the win, and look good doing it, they might be considered one of the favorites. One of the top two going into the tournament.
The way it sets up now, it looks going in as a winner. If Calumet wins, that could probably be a semifinal, would be my guess at the bracket, since they're the ranked fifth. Mm-hmm. You know, take over the fourth spot from Frontier if they beat them, just as far as the rankings go.
Frontier's a good team, and it's hard to look at these other teams with how.
But
good
actually, no,
Calumet.
that's not true.
What?
Because Fort Cobb's already been beat, so they would move up into the 2-3.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah, because Fort Cobb's already lost, so never mind. Scratch that, reverse it, take it back.
Yeah, my last point I was making, it's hard. We kind of forget about these other teams, Fort Cobb included, with how good Calumet's been this year. But Leedy's there, Frontier's there, and even Fort Cobb, if they can figure it out, can be there. And it could be a really interesting state tournament. But we'll see what happens after this weekend. I think some of that's still up in the air.
No doubt. Okay, let's talk about results of games today that would set up great matchups you want to see tomorrow.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
I mean, and we'll talk, and then tomorrow we'll talk about the games that are already set in those area finals. But with the 246 games going on today, Class A and B regional consolation round gets underway. And I just did one per classification and gender like we did yesterday. You know what I mean? So okay. I'll start.
Start because I didn't get a rundown.
Okay.
So I'm playing catch up.
Well, I told you yesterday we were going to do this assignment, Jared.
You know how busy I've been trying to get ready.
I didn't
for
really
today
think I needed to send you one because this
tomorrow,
was the only assignment.
I've been so. The only thing I had in my mind was Lance being on with this and Coach Conley.
Yeah, Coach Conley and Hammond coming up at 9:30. That's right. Why I'm filibustering right now.
That's
so
fine.
We can get him on in
That's
the break.
Fine.
Okay, so I start. I mentioned this one to go with Class A girls. I mentioned this one yesterday because of the upsets that happened in the regional tournament. For me, Caddo and Wright City can be a game tomorrow to get into the area consolation final. That's number 2 versus number 6. So Class A girls, that was an easy one for me because it's the spot where you could have two top 8 teams playing each other on a Friday.
Yeah, and those were two teams I picked to
I'm sorry, on a Friday afternoon. Not the Friday night you expected
no,
to
no,
see.
No, Friday afternoon. And those were, like I said, two teams I had advancing, so I'm already out down one. Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe you know, Okarchi, if they can win the girls and they get the winner of Garber and Moreland, that's very winnable for them.
It's a heck of a story considering where they came from.
I just like the story, how resilient these girls are. They've had to they're kind of the afterthought of all this drama that happened. But in reality, they are the team that's going out there and playing, and they're able to overcome that mentally and get past that. And here they are, three winnable games away. So maybe, and my answer would be yours because of the rankings and what that's an intriguing matchup. But before the storyline, I like Okarchi versus anybody there. Probably Garber. It's probably going to be Garber. Maybe Moreland. I've seen Moreland.
Oh, and obviously for whoever wins Canute Cheyenne, you'd want to see him play Sentinel. That way, somebody's guaranteed to play to go to the state tournament on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
From this small little area of the world out here. Class A boys, I went with Stonewall and Liberty. Stonewall, another team that's a top 8 that got beat in the regional tournament. And then Liberty almost was able to pull an upset as well in the regional finals. So I went with Stonewall and Liberty, the game I want to see tomorrow.
Every time you say Liberty, I hear that jingle.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
It's like free advertising for them. How about Pond Creek Hunter and Texoma?
I almost went with the Academy in Texoma, but we already saw that one.
Yeah.
They played.
Yeah.
It was a close game.
I picked Pond Creek Hunter to advance. Texoma is a team that got to the state tournament last year. Lost some personnel, but here they are again. I've seen them play too. That game there has my interest.
Okay, Class B girls. I went with one that would be a top 12 matchup, Chatty and Varnum. I would also put as a 1B rematch of Leedy Boise City.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't know anything about Chattanooga. I mean, they're a name team. You hear about them.
Mm-hmm.
And Varnum, yeah. Let me look. That area does nothing for me, sorry.
Yeah, there's a couple of them where I literally just clicked on it and then clicked the X. Move on.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah, the Leedy thing. The Leedy Boise City potential rematch.
And of course, Arnett.
Get past Arnett. Maybe Arnett Boise City. Maybe that's my answer. Because I could flip a coin on Arnett Leedy right now. I think Boise City will handle Kremlin Hillsdale.
Yeah, the Kremlin Hillsdale's rated higher.
Burrito.
Bring it.
We got a lot of potential burrito bets.
I'll take it. Kremlin Hillsdale, I'll take it.
How about a donut bet?
Yeah, since they're free tomorrow. I like that even better.
Yeah.
And then Class B boys, I'm going to ride the Fort Cobb train and see if they can get to the state tournament after that loss. I meant to ask Lance about the he mentioned guys trying to take Puffenbarger out on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I meant to ask him about that the diamond and two with the two on the one guy, and I totally slipped my mind. I should have written it down, but I'll take Eric and Fort Cobb or Battiest and Fort Cobb, but for local interest, Eric and Fort Cobb would be just to see if the Mustangs can get there.
It's a good one. That's a good one. And the Mustangs are my Mahomes. I don't bet against them, so I will. I'll ride your coattails on that one too. That's the only one I see that I would tune into to watch.
Yeah,
Fort Cobb versus anybody. Yeah,
do you have any idea how long it's been since Fort Cobb hasn't been in a state tournament?
I don't think I was able to grow facial hair the last time they were able to, or they were not there. No, I don't know. It's has to been in the teens.
2012.
That's close.
2012.
I could grow facial
time.
Hair, by the way, by then. No, that's insane. They, too, kind of like I mentioned Leedy's. Like, if they're not there, it's weird. If they don't make it, that's weird.
Yeah. It's a long streak. Mm-hmm. You know, Fort Gibson's got the longest. I think it's 19 in a row.
Girls, yeah.
Yeah, on the girls' side. But that's a heck of a long streak. So, yeah, so that's the storyline to me in Class B boys right now, is kind of watching how that unfolds. And if Cobb could make it back, it's an incredible streak by them. And Coach Hines obviously been there for the entirety of that. Anything else real quick before we take a break? Then we'll have Hammond Lady Warriors head coach Clay Conley on next. Elk City and Merritt in the regional tournaments. Both Merritt teams are playing in the winner's bracket, both against Hooker tonight. You can watch that one on Paragon TV, 6 o'clock for the girls, 7:30 for the boys. Big Elk season is on the line this afternoon. It's a 2:30 tip, and it will be at 2:30, guaranteed. Because there's not a game before. Clinton couldn't play girls-wise. They've had some injuries and stuff and didn't have a ton to finish the season. So they're not that game isn't happening. So it's going to be a 2:30 start. For the fourth time this season, we get Elk City and Clinton. Big Elks have won twice. Clinton won once back in the second game of the season in December. So 2:30 Big Elk TV, 2:15 for the pregame. And then, of course, the Elkettes will play, if not the best team in girls basketball in the state of Oklahoma, one of the top two or three. With Bethany in the regional winners bracket. That's a game that happened here a couple weeks ago. Bethany won pretty easily. So we'll see what the Elkettes can do tonight. Try to make that a game as long as you can possibly stay in it against the juggernaut that is the defending 4A champs and the Bethany Lady Broncos. So that's part of the schedule. We'll have the entire schedule before we get off the air here this morning. All right, now we'll take a break. When we come back, Hammond Lady Warriors head coach Clay Conley will join us. First year at the helm of another program that is consistently in state tournaments and winning state tournaments. Talk to him about how his experience has been, what his team's got this year, and looking forward to tomorrow's game against Geronimo. Skinny on Sports, right here on the Sports Animal.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, rolling through high school basketball, getting ready for the busiest day in the playoffs, 246 games all across the state of Oklahoma. Joining us now, though, is a guy that's not going to have to be out there on the floor tomorrow. His Hammond Lady Warriors will play tomorrow night in Noble for the area championship to make their 18th out of 24 state tournaments in this century. It's head coach Clay Conley. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so you come in your first year from the east side of the state, from Kenta. What has been your experience in your first year at the helm of the Hammond Lady Warriors program?
The first thing is just the passion that's out here in just Western Oklahoma. At Hammond alone, but just everywhere we've went, it's just been incredibly fun to coach, and it's a, I call it the Hoosier side of the state. It's a beautiful place to be a head basketball coach.
Yeah, and so that was like my next question. Coming from the East, do you notice a difference in maybe the style of play, the passion for the people over here versus where you came from on the East side at Kenta?
I think it's the passion that they have over here. Just like it's kind of like Texas high school football. That's what basketball out here in the west side of Oklahoma is. You know, there's a lot of passion and love for it on the east side, but it's different out here in the west, and that's the number one thing that I've taken away from being out here.
Well, before we jump into your season, Coach, Jared Atha here. Thanks for being on. What was it like being approached about this job and you seeking this job? I don't know how it went, but what was it like knowing that this was a job opportunity to step into right after they've just won a state title? That doesn't happen very often.
Right. You know, I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to get to work here and kind of steer the ship, so to speak. But, no, it's I can't lie to you. I felt a little bit of pressure coming into it. You know, said 18 of the last 24 state tournament appearances. They just won it with Coach Beer, who does an amazing job. And you know, this is my fifth year coaching in general ever. So, you know, taking this job at that early in my career, there was a lot of pressure coming into it. But the people here and the girls, and they've made it an easy adjustment and an amazing place to be.
Yeah, on the surface, you would consider it being a pretty easy decision. You're like, okay, yeah, leaving a place that had never made it to a state tournament to go to this one. But I would imagine there had to have been kind of, maybe not question marks, but at least, you know, a thought process to make sure, you know, you always hear you don't want to follow the legend. You kind of be the person to follow. But you took on that challenge and have done a great job this season with that team.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, coming from Kenta, I did boys and girls there. And,
yeah.
Jim Jensen got it. Pittsburgh, it's won the state title there. He won one with boys, and I took over literally the year after he won it with the boys. And so it's kind of familiar territory there, and the pressure is there. But, you know, taking over Hammond, where it's – I joke with some of the people here at work, it's title town. Like, you know, you if you're not making a state tournament, you're not doing something right. And it's been awesome.
It probably helped your decision a little bit to see that you had Henley West to coach, right?
Yeah, you know, I probably think I'm crazy when I say this. I knew of Henley, but really had never got to see Hammond play. Big deal in this job decision was our boys coach, Larry Johnston. Gotten to see him while I was coaching boys and coach against him and kind of pick his brain. And I thought he'd be somebody as a young coach to be able to come and, you know, learn from. But then, you know, when I take the job and get here and actually see Henley and then the other girls, you know, live in the flesh, then, you know, you get really excited because, yeah, she's a great player, but we've got a lot of great pieces to go with her.
And, yeah.
But not very often do you have 6'5" in girls basketball, that's for sure.
Hanging out with head coach Clay Conley and the Hammond Lady Warriors. Tell us about your team. Who are all the pieces? Obviously, everybody knows West, but everyone else, tell us kind of about them and how it's gone.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of new faces from last year. I think to start the season, Henley and Justice Espinoza were the only two returning starters, but even then, the only two returning girls that even got to play a whole lot of, I guess you'd call them meaningful minutes. And, you know, we've had senior Shannon Ayer step up big for us a lot of times this year. Senior Edwin Apiwo has done some really, really good things late. And she's playing well at the right time. And we've had some young kids step up and be awesome for us defensively. And you know, like Paige McIntosh, our little sophomore of ours, has been shooting the ball lights out for us. Jordan Espinoza, she's a freshman, the younger sister of Justice, just brings a spark for us defensively, and she's got a really high IQ for such a young girl. And, you know, Emma Crapshaw, she's one of our 6-foot sophomores that really, really came on in the playoffs and kind of found her rhythm. And, you know, we've had a couple other girls step up, like Danica Bull Cummings, been shooting the ball well for us. We've created that depth late that we didn't necessarily have early in the year, and it's been massive headed into the playoffs and this deep run playing these teams that we've gotten a chance to play.
Yeah, it just looking at your results throughout the year, it seems like you really kind of grabbed another gear after the second loss to Merritt. You come back after the weekend, blow out a Canute team that's in the area tournament this week. Is that true? And then is it just a matter of the other girls kind of finding their roles and finding their rhythm is kind of led to that?
Well, I think it was right around the Bi-County tournament in that second Merritt game where, you know, I just preached to the girls, you know, it's playing Merritt as dominant as they are this year and they have been in the past. I told them it's a free roll. I go out there and play loose and relaxed and confident, and I kind of think they've taken that to heart, which is a blessing for us because they've gotten, you know, not having the great experience that some teams may have, they've kind of leaned on each other and leaned on that confidence and just kind of played loose and relaxed, and it's kind of catapulted us forward, and we kind of figured each other out, and that chemistry's kind of there now, you know, where it may not have been before, but you know, the Merritt game was big for us. I know we lost by 14 or so, but that's a game where we've done a lot of things better than we did the first time we played them. And our schedule is really, really tough. And so that's kind of helped them, too, throughout the year, just kind of gaining that confidence and kind of finding their foothold headed into the playoffs.
Talk about your playoff run. It's been, like we just mentioned, very, very successful so far. We got a tough game tomorrow night. You touched on it, the depth there and other girls starting to figure it out. But what's it going to take tomorrow night to be successful?
I think it's going to, you know, we preach just do what we do. We try to come out every night and bring an energy and kind of a pesky defensive style, you know, and it's a lot of people thought on, well, you play a zone. Yeah, we do, but we try to kind of get after it out of that zone. And you know, having Henley in the middle kind of allows us to get out and get a little more aggressive because she kind of protects the rim for us. But Geronimo is a good team. I mean, they shoot the ball a ton from three. They get after you in their press. You know, scouted a game. I think it was their Wilson-Henrietta game, and they shot 43 three attempts. So we're gonna have to get out and defend the 3-point line. And they've got some really good players. A girl that scored over 1,500 career points and does a lot of phenomenal things for them. But I think if we can kind of come in, relax, and just do what we do at a high level and get the ball inside early, I think they might have some trouble guarding us inside. But, you know, Coach Abby, who was actually assistant at Merritt before, he does a phenomenal job down there. And he'll have them ready to go. And our girls will be ready to go, too. And I think it'll be a great game. And there's going to be a great team punch their ticket tomorrow night.
43 attempts.
I don't even know if I see 43 shots
on a nightly
basis. I don't think
there's enough time in a game to shoot that many. Holy moly.
Yeah, that game, they shot 72 field goal attempts, and 42 of them were in the first half. But 72 of those, or 43 of the 72, were 3-point attempts.
Holy wow. Moses. How much fun is it to have Henley West? How much fun is it to coach her and figure out – almost like a game of chess, like, okay, what are they going to try to do to take her out of the game? And then conversely, what can we do to keep her in it?
Right. Well, for one, you know, anybody that's gotten to watch her play, she's been doubled and tripled and pushed and shoved and fouled and all year long. And she stayed resilient and stayed within herself and never gets visibly frustrated or mad. You know, she makes everybody around her better. She's a phenomenal kid in the classroom and in the community, but to have a chance to coach her, and you know, especially in small school Class B basketball, she's kind of a once in a career type of player for a coach as far as her height and ability at that height. But you know, when teams try to take her out of the game, that's a credit to that depth again. Shannon Ayers has come in and kind of been that two-headed monster for us, and then here late we've kind of had a three-headed monster with Emma Crapshaw. And you know, having three bigs that can go score, it makes it really hard for them to take Henley out of the game. And then, you know, I've told her, I said, you know, as much as she's doubled, the better you can facilitate, the harder it is for you to get doubled. And she's kind of done a really good job of finding cutters and doing a good job there. And she really hasn't been in foul trouble all year long. I'll say that and jinx myself for tomorrow night. But you know, I don't think she's fouled out all year, and I think maybe the most fouls she's had this year has been three. She does a really good job of staying vertical and blocking a ton of shots and altering shots. But, you know, keeping her in the game and involved in the game, I think, is just a huge credit to our depth and our guard play, being able to get her the ball inside. And but no, she's been an awesome, awesome player to have, and smiling every day. It's just she's fun to have, and I'll hate to see her go when she graduates next year. But right now, we're gonna enjoy it and ride the ship out and see where we can take this thing.
That's what's impressed me about her. You mentioned her mental toughness, her resiliency, because she's going to be more or less targeted by other teams to try to take her out or get under her skin. And you never see that, even with her body language, you don't see her frustrated at all. And that's just incredible to me. And that's going back to last year, too, when as young as she was, and here she is a junior. And she knows, I got that target. They're going to come after me. Does she ever go in the locker room and go, man, coach, they're beating me up today? Or does she just keep her head high?
Nope, she just holds her head high. She, you know, every time we're in the locker room, me or my assistant coach Trent, she's just eyes locked in on you. She's wanting to know what she can do. And, you know, there's been nights where I've gotten on her pretty good, and there's been nights where we just kind of talk her through it. And she's the most coachable kid that, you know, that I think I've been around to take what she takes on a nightly basis. Since we're, you know, being around her every day when she's frustrated, but she doesn't ever show it on the floor, and she's always positive with her teammates, and her teammates are positive with her. And that's a big thing we've got going for us right now is we're all in for each other, and we're doing it, trying to do it together.
Hanging out with head coach Clay Conley of the Hammond Lady Warriors. Last question for me, you just kind of touched on it. With as much attention that she gets, the others, she can make the game so much easier for the other girls.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's, as the season has gone along, everyone's kind of found their role and almost maybe even found an extra gear of confidence in their play surrounding Henley. And to me, that's why they won the state title last year, is you saw some other girls really be able to handle their roles around her.
Absolutely. You know, we talked when I took the job, we've got to have balance. We've got to have great balance, and it can't just be, you know, the Henley West show, because people know that show now. They've seen that and watched it multiple times. And so it's big for us to have, you know, our guards step up and score some and hit shots from the outside, and then to have our other bigs to be able to go and score and get rebounds. And Henley's not having to do it all. And, you know, that's been a huge thing for us, is just having great balance. You know, and it's not that way all the time. Henley's going to score quite a bit, but if Henley scores her 18 to 20, but then, you know, our guards have add 6 apiece, and then Shannon and Emma add 10 to 12 apiece like they do most nights, then it's really hard to beat us because of the size and ability to defend that I think we present for a lot of people.
Well, Coach Conley, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to Western Oklahoma, and we'll be watching tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Geronimo down in Noble. Good luck to the Lady Warriors.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Absolutely. Head Coach Clay Conley of the Hammond Lady Warriors, headed back to an area final and hopefully back into the state tournament again. It's just an incredible – I mean, it's a couple of decade and a half run the Lady Warriors have been on lately, so – yeah, it didn't feel like that thing's slowing down anytime soon.
Not
either,
at all. Even after
last... Oh, listen, I know there's sixth graders.
Yeah, it's a machine. It's a factory. They're producing players over and over and over.
It's a good program. Like Coach Carpenter said, it starts in the third grade.
It does.
We'll be back.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift of this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Thursday, man. We really appreciate Coach Carpenter at Leedy, Coach Conley at Hammond for joining us here. They kind of have, obviously, not a day off for Lance driving the bus, but, you know, they're in that preparation mode for area finals tomorrow night, so we really appreciate their time here on the show and looking forward to what's coming up tomorrow, trying to punch a ticket into that Class B boys and girls state tournament. So good stuff, and we'll keep on rolling with that all the way through the playoffs. I'm sure there's a fair chance we might have both those guys back on next week to talk about state tournament opponents and that sort of thing as well. So we really appreciate their time and all the coaches that we've had so far this week. Jared, it's quiz time. All those out on the text line listening, it's quiz time.
Well, I hope people could text in today.
225, yeah. I know our man Leland can.
Right.
I just saw that.
So weird.
My heart rate goes up 40% listening to Lance. Listen, there's times where I think I talk pretty fast. I don't know if I can keep up.
Lance brings the energy, that's for sure.
I love it.
He's a walking Red Bull is what he is.
Here we go. Question for Jared and the text line. What happened 44 years ago today?
Good night, 44.
44 years ago today, this happened.
Was it the Miracle on Ice?
It is the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was it. You got the clip?
I thought I did.
Oh,
there it is. I knew I had it. I labeled it something I wasn't, you'd think I'd have just put Miracle.
So 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Yeah, Miracle on Ice, 44 years ago today. The American hockey team upset the Russians in Lake Placid. 4-3. Mike Ruzioni, the game winner.
44 years ago.
44 years ago today. Quite possibly the greatest upset in the history of sports.
Hard to think of another one bigger than that.
It's up there.
I mean, that was on an international stage. For what it meant for America, it was more than just winning a hockey game. It meant so much because it was the opponent was Russia and or the whatever. So, yeah, that's a
Soviet Union.
Soviet Union, thank you. But, America was down in the dumps back then. I mean, just emotionally, kind of like what we are now. And that kind of brought everybody back together. Yeah, big win. That was good. It's going to make me want to watch that movie tonight. You know what I mean? Great movie with Kurt Russell, Miracle. I didn't think when I heard they were making that movie, I thought, oh, boy, that you better do it right. You better, and I think they did. They brought the excitement with that movie.
Two things people forget. One, that game did not win the Americans the gold medal.
No, yeah, everyone, it's like, yeah, everybody thinks that was it. No.
No,
that they had to was do it against Finland.
Was it Finland?
Yeah, and they had to come back to win that game.
And number two, just a little less than 2 weeks prior, they got together in Madison Square Garden, and the Russians beat the Americans 10-3.
Got a bad, yeah.
So, good stuff. Other upsets that might would rank, Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
Yep, I think we all knew.
It was
where
a high
remember one. Where we were when that happened, or heard about it anyways. I was a kid, and I heard it on the radio the next morning.
You know, in the college basketball tournament, I think a lot of people look at NC State versus Houston. I would not say that one. I would actually go a couple years later, Villanova beating Georgetown. It took Villanova shooting like 77% in the second half to win that, or the game to win that. To win that one, that's a crazy number, considering how good that the Hoya paranoia back then.
Mm-hmm.
There's been huge upsets all across. But boy, that Miracle on Ice, you're right, height of the Cold War, everything going on. surrounding that game and being right here on the soil of the USA. I think a lot of that goes in to making that. I'll tell you what you need to watch. Miracle's great. There's no doubt. It's fun. But if I were going to recommend viewing for this evening, if you wanted to get Miracle on Icy, I would watch, I can't read, let me remember what it's called. It's a 30 for 30, but it is from Vladimir Fetisov. No, Sergey, what is his name? Is it Fetisov?
I don't remember.
Of Miracles and Men. That's it.
Something
it's,
off.
It's of Miracles and Men. It's a 30 for 30 that goes back and it tells the story from the Russian side.
And what they had to deal with coming back home, yeah.
And well, I mean, just the whole history of it kind of
how they became what they became.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's hard to think about it now, but back then, none of those guys got to, they weren't allowed to come over here and play in the NHL.
Oh, right. That's right.
Vyacheslav Fetisov. That's how you say it. Slava is for short. Slava Fetisov. It's just a really, you don't see that a lot, right? When you have these massive stories, massive, you know, sports moments, a lot of times you see from the one side and not really the other, and especially in a situation like this where coming from communist Soviet Union. But this, it's really cool. It's a really cool. And you can tell, I mean, he literally, him and his daughter go up to Lake Placid and kind of sat in the locker room that he was in.
Wow.
And you can see the emotion and the disappointment all those years later on his face. And with his, you know, it's not to that level, but it's almost like a victim of some sort of crime reliving those moments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like that for him. Just with the...
Well, sports does that. It triggers that those emotions. And
it's an awesome one. You know,
there's a lot of people who probably get that reaction if they step foot into Jim Norrick.
Could,
maybe
very well.
So close, but have never won one. And like, man, 20 years ago, we were right there and we lost it. And yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. Miracle's great. That might be even more real with the emotion of from the Soviet Union side of things and that Miracle on Ice. Other thing going on tonight, hey, it seems like it's been months since this has happened, but the Thunder back in action tonight. Clippers in town in OKC, and it does appear that it's going to be the debut of one Gordon Hayward for the Thunder. He said he's ready to go. I think for me, the couple of the storylines coming down the stretch of the season, I would say three just off the top of my head. Number one, of course, where the Thunder will finish in the Western Conference standings, which then means what does that do for their playoff positioning, hosting a series, not hosting a series, you know, that all that kind of stuff wrapped into one. Number two is how Oklahoma City can incorporate more so Gordon Hayward than Bismack Biyombo. I think Biyombo is going to be strictly a matchup type guy that may play once and sit three, just depending on what the other team is doing and what the Thunder need. So it's more how is Hayward incorporated? Whose minutes does he take? Does this eventually, could it, you know, it's only 28 games till the end of the season, so it's hard to imagine a major shakeup like this, but if he does fit seamlessly, could this mean, you know, a change in the starting lineup to allow Giddy to kind of run the second unit? Or, more importantly to me, who finishes? Is Hayward kind of the key to unlock those closing lineups? And then finally, number three, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in his quest to be the MVP. Those are kind of the three things that I would look at. What about you?
What
are you looking for the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, it's really exciting because of the strength of schedule for the rest of the year for the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not that hard. It's in the 20s, I think.
Yeah, well in the 20s.
Yeah, so that's exciting to know, to think they can navigate this easy schedule for this final run and position themselves to be at the top of the Western Conference final standings when it's all said and done. That's something I'm just looking forward to, just, you know, moving forward. Then, of course, the dynamics of bringing in Hayward and how that, like, everything you've mentioned. Will he be six man? Will he eventually be inserted into the starting lineup? I kind of like the first part. I like the idea of him helping be a closer at the end of games and not necessarily a starter. If that's the role, I hope that he accepts. But so there's a lot of that. And what's really cool is I was just looking at it, curious about tonight's game. It is not on national television. Sometimes look at Thursday night prime.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
It's not. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games on, and who knows how many could be flexed onto national television. So if you're like me and cheap and you don't pay for the extra stuff on Bally Sports, you got a chance to see the Thunder a lot. And they're getting a lot of people's attention. There's a great article that you saw.
Yeah, I was going to try to do that tomorrow or even next week.
Going back to the trade that got SGA here, of course, Paul George there, and how those paths are going. I sat down and read it. I recommend you do. And it's just ironic. It comes out now right before they play the Clippers. And those two teams, those two franchises will be those two teams along with Denver and who else am I missing out?
Minnesota
fighting for that top spot. It's going to be a fun run here.
Yeah, so you look at the standings. Minnesota 39-16, the Thunder 37-17, the Clippers 36-17. And then Denver 36-19. That's the top four. And then it goes down, at least in the loss column, three more losses down to 22. So if you look at the Thunder right now, with 28 games left, they're five up in the loss column over number five, which is Phoenix. And why do I say number five? Because that would be the first spot that wouldn't host
right in
the first round. So you got a five-loss advantage over Phoenix. And then you mentioned the strength of schedule. Here's another thing. When you talk about Phoenix specifically and also the Clippers, Phoenix has the toughest schedule left in the NBA, whereas the Thunder are 24th toughest. And the teams around them, Denver is 23, so they're right there playing a similar remaining schedule as the Thunder. Minnesota is 20, so they're kind of in that same category, in the same atmosphere at least with Oklahoma City. But then the Clippers, they play the 7th. Toughest schedule from here on out. So that's that could be a big-time advantage for Oklahoma City. One, to try to stay maybe in the top two or three with the Clippers playing that tough of a schedule versus what Oklahoma City has left, and then also staying away from dropping into a road situation in the first round with Phoenix playing the toughest schedule and Oklahoma City playing the 24th toughest. So those are just a couple of things, standings-wise, that you can look at with Oklahoma City. 28 games left in the regular season. Tonight will be a good one. They go back-to-back tonight against the Clippers, and then they get a breather with Washington in town tomorrow night. You look at the Wizards, they're down near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, 9-45. So that should be a game that, come away with a couple of wins. And I can't remember who it is Sunday. Seems like it's Houston. So you start out here with Clippers, and then you get Washington, and then back-to-back actually with Houston. Sunday on the road, Tuesday here, then the Spurs. I mean, man, you could really get something rolling before you have to go to Phoenix, the Lakers, later next week or at the end of next week or into next weekend. Get that one tonight. You could easily see a 4-1, 5-0 coming out of the All-Star break, and by that point, you never know. That could be enough to be at the top of the standings with then less or getting down to close to 20 games left.
50 wins, 55 wins, higher? What do you think? Regular season.
Okay, so right now they're 37-17. If they split the last 28 with the 24th hardest or easiest schedule, that would be 51. 14-14. You know what I'm saying? That's 51.
So north of 55 is
realistic. I don't know if you get – I would say – if you set the over-under at, say, like 54.5, that would be a good number to me. Somewhere in there.
They're going to have to take some. They're going to have to take some on the road. There's some tough – look at their schedule.
So it,
you know, Milwaukee on the road, Phoenix on the road, LA Lakers on the road. So I mean, there's losable games, I guess we're calling them. Boston, Philly.
So 20-8 would be 57.
I mean, there's a stretch right there. You got Knicks, Philly, and Boston, and then Indiana, four road games in a row. But that's not until end of March, early
I would
April.
Say north of 50, south of right around 55 is a pretty good number.
Only thing I asked for a Thunder. Only thing.
Because that would everything be what? Okay, hang on a minute. That would be 18-10.
Yeah.
The rest of the way. That's possible.
Just please, please, Thunder, please, April 14th, I want that game to mean something. Don't rest your players. Because that's where I'm going. I'm taking the family on. It's the last game of the year.
Yeah.
It's the last regular season
yeah,
game
you
of
hope
the
it
year.
Matters.
It's versus Dallas. I want to see Luka. I want to see Chet. I want to see them all.
Okay. I was looking for this earlier, and I hadn't seen it. Appreciate Stephen Walker texted in to the text line. Not only do we have all this high school basketball, but high school wrestling state tournament started at 9:30. Congratulations. So they have what's called the pigtail matches. Okay?
Yeah.
So the bracket is eight wrestlers, mm-hmm. but 10 qualify for the state tournament.
Okay.
And so the number one seed and the number two seed await the winners of the pigtail matches
right.
between the four and the five coming from regionals. Kenzie Manning was one of those on the girls' side at the 105-pound weight class. She won her match, so she is in to the bracket now.
Nice.
Sonny Holiday on the boys' side was doing the same thing. He was unable to win. So Sonny Holiday makes the state tournament, but now he is out. He won't make it into the bracket. Let's see, who else was doing that? Charisma Yake. Was also wrestling in the pigtail matches for Elk City today, and Braxton Robertson. Interesting for Braxton. If he's able to win in the 215-pound weight class, he will face in the first round a name that a lot of people know for a different reason than wrestling. Is the name Cale Charbonneau ring a bell?
A little bit. That last name does, yeah.
He's the quarterback for the Wagner football team.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So that would be Braxton's opponent.
Cool.
If he was able to win. I looked on the OSSA side earlier. I didn't see any results, but I appreciate Steven for texting that
yeah.
in. So way to go, Kenzie Manning, freshman, 105 class. She is in the bracket. So that's awesome.
You're brave.
And another great year for Sonny Holiday, making the state tournament his first time. I think he's just a sophomore. And his sister will be wrestling later, Madison. She's in her and Kenzie Leal are already in the bracket as the second place finishers in the regionals. So lots of stuff going on. Our man Hunt is going to be busy mm-hmm. from wrestling to basketball all the way through the weekend. All right, real quick, Jared, top of my head, help me out. Paragon TV today. We'll start with Paragon TV. Canute and Cheyenne Raiden, Class A girls from Chickasha. That's a 1 o'clock tip.
Correct.
Leedy and Arnett from Enid. That's a 1 o'clock tip, and Class B girls. These are all elimination games today in A and B. So you got those two games at 1 o'clock. Canute and Southwest Covenant coming up at 2:30 from Chickasha. Then we have tonight on Paragon TV, elimination game for the Eric Bearcats, 7:30 from Noble against Battiest. Is that all the A and Bs? I think it is. On Paragon TV. Then also on Paragon TV tonight, 6 o'clock from Merritt. You've got the 2A regional tournament getting started. Winner's bracket action. It's Merritt and Hooker. Boys and girls games are the exact same opponents. 6 o'clock for the girls, 7:30 for the boys. And then on Big Elk TV, 2:30, Big Elks and Clinton. That's an elimination game in the regional tournament. Then we fast forward to 6 o'clock. The Elkettes taking on the Bethany Lady Broncos. I think that's the entirety of the schedule, if I remember right.
I think you got it.
I think it is. So we have that posted on Paragon TV?
More or less. Yeah.
Okay.
Times aren't really that accurate. But, yeah.
You can check it out. And also go to the OSSA website for the brackets. We've got the brackets posted. 8 for state. Somebody, I'm going to tell you right now, the Tucker family beef 8 for state. There's going to be somebody losing a team today.
Somebody pick somebody.
That's going to get knocked out of the tournament today.
Yeah.
And then start dwindling down from 32 correct answers. I think almost the entire field is going to.
Well, I'm one of them.
Well, maybe not today.
But by tomorrow, after tomorrow, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the target score may just be 31 because it seemed like Cato and Wright City was a
popular pick. Picks.
Except for me, though.
Well, good for you.
I had Empire.
Good for you.
I had Empire.
Go ahead and pat your own back. There.
I will. I had Empire. My wife had Tushka. So that's an area final tomorrow going at it. Empire and Tushka and Class A girls. I'm going to need J.C. Powers to come through for Empire. Everybody have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.